For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Stop me if you've heard this one before. National beat writer, reporter, analyst thinks the Browns could be really good, but it all rides on Deshaun Watson. David Hellman there, Fox Sports, and of course part of the NFL, and Cowboys coverage recently. Really good stuff in that last segment with him, but kick off the season the right way with the Bud Light Tailgate Show. Spencer German, whose voice you just heard there, will wake you up at 8. Jonathan Peterlin and his friends open the gates to our tailgate on West 6th at noon. Daryl Ryder will have the latest news from Cleveland Browns Stadium, and Kent Carman takes the stage at 3:20. Always make the Bud Light tailgate part of your game day on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing, and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. So we got Daryl Ryder coming up in about 15 minutes here. But hi, Spencer. How you doing?
Hi, Nick. It's good to be here, man. I'm in that mode where you're gone for a period of time, and you're still trying to like feel like your life's back to somewhat of like a routine that you were in, like you lose it all and you're just like, how did I do this before?
Because vacation tricks
you. That's why I left the microphone off last segment, because I was clearly not used to turning the microphone on.
For a minute there, I was never takes vacation guy, especially when I filled in here, because I was always want to make sure that if they need me, I want to be ready for that, right? And I was just so focused. And I'm glad I'm not that person anymore. The downside, because I enjoy my vacations now, but the downside is, man, trying to get back on track after vacation gets harder the older I get.
Well, and before we went, and I call it a vacation because we were gone and all that, but it really was like a lot busier than I think what a normal vacation would be for people, because we had this wedding. It was my brother-in-law's wedding. And so there was like a lot of stuff that went into that and family stuff and whatever. So it wasn't like we were just like relaxing and hanging out and laying low. Like, no, we had stuff to do. So that
especially
made it,
when you have a little one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like traveling across country with a toddler, that was sort of stressful, although he actually did a very good job, which we were proud of. Well, a lot of the flight attendants all were giving us props, like, oh, he's so well behaved, and all these other people passing by, they loved it. So that was all good. But going into this trip though, like I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like last week of, you know, training camp practice. It's kind of the week in between training camp and week one, so nothing really happens other than cut down day, and we already kind of know what that's going to look like anyway. So I was like, this is like your last chance to like just not do anything football related, just like, you know, decompress, take some time, and then you'll come back and it's like the grind of this NFL season starts. And I was sitting here thinking like, this is going to be awesome, like perfectly timed vacation. And now I'm back and I'm like, holy crap, I got a lot of stuff to get caught up on before we have this game on Sunday when the Browns play the Cowboys.
Well, the good news is you don't really have to catch up on any national person's take, because I think they're all the same. I thought David was great. So this is not a shot at David, who I thought gave us really good stuff on, and a funny take on why haven't the Cowboys broken through, and his thoughts on the hype for this game. At the same point, like, there's just a part of me that when I hear everybody espouse the same take, I don't know if it's that I'm naturally a contrarian, but when everybody goes, yeah, I really like this roster, but Deshaun Watson, there's a part of me that's like, there has to be some deeper level of analysis of this team, even if that is still a big part of the conversation you and I have and everybody else in the station has and everybody in town has on any given day.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I thought what David said about Deshaun and this kind of being his last chance to prove it to people was fascinating, because that is like the next iteration of this conversation. Like if he has another up and down year, gets hurt again, I don't know that any of us are going in the next year. Like how much confidence could any of us possibly have that quarterback that we keep touting and looking back on and being like, oh, well, in 2020, he led the league in passing. He was great for the Texans, top five quarterback. Like, how can any of us have confidence to go do that? Now, to his point, to Dylan's point, or sorry, David's point, like...
And Dylan's too.
you can, there'll always be somebody, right? I think in this fan base especially, there's always somebody who's going to hold on to this idea of hope and what the Browns could be, and this is the year they win the Super Bowl, and this is the year Deshaun gets it together. Like that really is like a look potentially into the future if Deshaun doesn't become that guy again this year. So I think that's interesting.
But I think because everybody's keyed in on it, I also think there's an outsized expectation for week one. Like, I'm not saying that Deshaun won't be great week one, but I think to expect that, and if your initial reaction is, well, he was just good. So, I mean, because that's... he had a lot of better moments, right, last year than he did the year before while playing through an injury for half the time he was on the field. But the bottom line is, well, it's not enough. And I think that same opinion is going to form early on. Yeah. And I said this earlier, and I want to get your take on it. I think, to me, if we talk about what's going to get me more hyped up, seeing the offense great against Dallas would be awesome, right? But while they have Micah Parsons and they have Trevon Diggs, Bland is hurt, but while they have DeMarcus Lawrence, like, they've got good players. I also think they're probably in a weird spot going to Mike Zimmer. I think they're in a weird spot being without their best interception machine, their best turnover guy, and Bland. Like, I think if you play well against this defense, okay, cool. But you're going to have to prove it 16 more times. Whereas if the defense comes out and against a franchise quarterback and Dak looks elite, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, well, I can trust that because I already have last year to build on with the defense.
I like where your head's at with that. I'm the opposite, and I think a lot of it just has to do with so here's the thing. I've kind of wrapped my head around this idea that maybe I have to change instead of the Browns or Deshaun or whatever changing.
Getting existentialist about it?
Yes, exactly. Like last year I went in feeling like, dude, this is it. Sean, he used the quote, and I keep referencing this. Going into last year, his quote about like what the offense is going to look like week one. And if you notice, I'm sure you caught what he said today. Somebody asked him about like, what is your expectation for the offense this year? Like, how good can this be? And his answer was just, well, we're just going to take it a week at a time. And he backed off of, but last year his answer was, oh, it can be fireworks. That was the answer. And this offense now is supposed to be more geared towards him. So you'd think like he would just stick with the status quo and say, well, it's going to be fireworks again. But he didn't do that this time. So even he's kind of lowering the expectation where it's like, let's just get out there and see what's going to happen here. And so I've changed now where I'm not going into this year like, Deshaun has to give me this week one. I need to see this from the offense. This is my expectation. So I've now changed my expectation to be like, look, I am willing to give Deshaun like the first 4 to 5 weeks of the season to understand like truly what he could be this season. And I think that's...
Until he has a great week one?
Well,
is that what I'm inferring from that?
So if he has a good week one, then maybe the math changes for me a little bit where I'm like, all right, so he surprised me and I can now change my thoughts. I'm like, okay, now I've seen like what the bar can be and that's where I'm setting it for the rest of the season. But I'm kind of going into it like... probably going to get off to a slow start. A lot of new offensive line coach, new offense. We didn't get a lot of reps with the ones during the preseason to iron some of these things out. We saw some of the problems, I think, rear their head in those joint practices with the Vikings. And so until I'm sort of proven otherwise, I'm just going to kind of assume it's going to be a slow start. And I'll give Deshaun, but I also am willing to give Deshaun some time. I'm not going to be one of those fans that's like, if he only puts up like 200 yards and a touchdown and interception and they win, I'm not going to be sitting here like, well, that wasn't enough. I'm going to be like, okay, I'll give him a few weeks to see what it looks like because that's what we saw last year. It took him 3 weeks to get there.
So I will say, I do think early on, winning is more important than how Deshaun looks because looks can be subjective. I think by the end of the season, they probably become of equal importance.
Agreed.
But I just think, like, specific to what you said, I think there is some faultiness in the logic that you just shared, which is, I'm going to give him time. I'm going to, you know, because I think that's the right logic. But then to go, but man, if he balls out week one, I got to recalibrate my expectations. Like, I think we should be looking at this offense the way we did the defense last year, which was every week it was, all right, this is what's happened. And then by the San Francisco game, it's, okay, you're very clearly an elite defense. All right, but can we be consistent? Can we be this? Can we be that? Like, so I view Sunday as like the 18th game with this defense. It's day one with the offense. So I think even if Deshaun goes out there and plays well, which, again, well is a subjective thing. Even if he goes out there and plays with his hair on fire, the best Deshaun we've seen in Cleveland by a wide margin, I still think there's going to be an element of, well, okay, now you got to go do it again.
Yeah, and that was kind of my point with what I said was it sets an expectation of, like, this is what it should be with Deshaun.
But one game shouldn't reset the expectation, which I think is my point.
But I will still be, like, level-headed and being like, okay, but it's only one game. Like, we still do need to see some more. I'm not saying, like, it completely changes. Like, I'm not going to base one game off of, like, now I believe Deshaun's back. Like, but I do think it would be, for the standpoint of the question you're asking, of like, what would get you more excited? I would be more excited to see the offense hit the ground running and be successful than I would the defense, because I just assume, even if the defense gets off to a slow start, Nick, and this is just the trust that I have in Jim Schwartz, I believe, like, by the end of the season, this defense is going to be maybe not right where it was last year, but I think they're still going to be a top 10 defense in football because I trust Jim Schwartz to get that out of this group. And I also think, too, Nick, last year, the defense started so hot that then I think at the end of the season, and we saw it play out in the Texans game, they kind of got figured out and they weren't playing as well down the stretch of the season. So I feel like I'd almost rather, I'm okay if it takes them some time, but it's, you know, it's the group that I trust the most on this team.
I will say, you have been guilty occasionally of knee-jerk reactions. That's simply why I said the Dallas thing. Need I point you back to the Michigan Panic Meter and the Sons of the Shoe podcast? There were a few knee-jerk reactions.
I told you I'm turning over a new leaf.
Yeah, that's...
Although it only lasts till the end of this weekend because Michigan plays Texas this weekend.
Yeah, so we'll see about that. We'll see about that. But the conversation continues. Dallas, Cleveland, week one. We just found out, apparently, that... you know, Bill Belichick, fresh off his first big week heading into the NFL, not only is he happily unretired, he's also happily dating a 24-year-old, and now he's happily on Instagram. Listen, you're dating a 24-year-old and you're on Instagram, Bill Belichick's never coaching again. The man's getting TV money. He's getting college booty. Like, I'd like... there's no putting the genie back in the bottle once he hits reels like spooning with the 24-year-old.
Is the next step that he's on Tinder? Like, is that once him and this girlfriend probably break up at some point?
So you don't believe in love? I mean, all the other 68-year-olds that dated her said she's got an old soul. It's about the only old thing on her, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Now, other than Bill Belichick. So, to talk about Bill Belichick on Instagram and the Browns and Cowboy, welcome on Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, Bill Belichick on Instagram. Good idea, bad idea?
Bad idea.
Why, you think he's going to go trolling for more 24-year-olds?
Probably. Once you figure out how the DMs work, probably.
I don't think he needs Instagram for that.
I wonder, I can only imagine what his, like, For Me page is going to look. You know, there's, like, always, like, when you go to search stuff and it gives you, like, all these recommended things, and it's oftentimes, like, things that you searched in the past.
I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't football.
Women in bikinis, whatever it might be. Can't wait. I just wonder what Bill Belichick's
there's,
like.
There's never been any more pressure than when my kids have my phone and they go to the For You tab to type in search.
The sweat's
and I'm like,
dripping down your forehead.
Well, no, because here's the problem. I got too many people influencing. One, I have a warped sense of humor, which everyone can attest to. You always get some sort of very questionable DM from me, one way or another. But then two, like, I don't surround myself with people who have, like, the cleanest DMs in the world, meaning, like, there's a lot of different things in there that I'm like, that's not into that. It's because Uncle Dustin sent it to him. All right, it's somebody else. That ain't me, dog. The worst 30 seconds of my life leading up to them hitting send.
Oh, I thought Daryl was going to say something there.
No, I am staying out of that conversation.
I'll show you.
I will not be the responsible for the further corruption of the Wilson children.
That's fair. Should we expect Jed Wills out there this week? If not, do we have a timetable on when Jed Wills will be back at left tackle?
I don't think he's going to be at left tackle Sunday. I said that on Monday. I maintain it. Certainly after speaking with Jed today, I don't expect it either. Jack Conklin, I think, will be your starting left tackle on Sunday. And then as far as when Jed is able to get back there, I honestly don't know. Jed told us that, you know, his thing, and we saw it during the 20 minutes practice, was open to us. He went through the individual drills, the individual reps there that the offensive linemen go through. And he just told us, hey, I'm going to go through individual today and, you know, see how things feel after that. So the timetable as far as when he's actually going to be out there is unclear. And for those that I did make the mistake of checking my mentions on the video clip that I put together and posted of Jed on X, fans are less than thrilled with him, and he was asked about that today as well. You know, the fans and folks question, you know, your availability and willingness to play and things like that. And you know, Jed took the high road and very politely said that he's not really concerned about, you know, what people are thinking or saying about him or his toughness or anything along those lines.
Daryl, do you have any explanation though for like the weirdness of the Jed Wills injury situation? Because like
he told us today, it was supposed to be a rehab at first, which then turned into the scope. And when they did the scope, they had to scope more than just the MCL. So, so that is why this has been, you know, somewhat unique, and potentially explains some of the language that Kevin Stefanski had kept using when we would ask about Jed. And he, you know, as Kevin does, you know, every injury is its own thing, and you got to listen to the medical professionals and things like that. So, I don't think that this recovery went as smoothly as everyone had hoped, including Jed Wills. Wills admitted today how frustrating this whole process has been for him. But, you know, it just did, I guess, it didn't go as smoothly. And so it's, you know, it's taken a little longer.
So what's more important to Jed Wills getting Wally pipped? Jack Conklin looking really, 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 really good at left tackle, or DeJuan Jones looking really, really, really good at right?
I would say Conklin, because Conklin would be the guy standing in for Wills. So if Conklin plays really, really well, I don't know that I want to, you know, toy with that. Now, on the unofficial depth chart that the team put out yesterday, and the key words there, it's unofficial. But you know, they did list Jack Conklin as the starting right tackle, and they listed Jed Wills as the starting left tackle, which means DeJuan Jones is the guy coming off the bench if needed. And, you know, I will say this, because I did see some of the, you know, the comments about it. There haven't been many times under Kevin Stefanski where there have been blatant misrepresentations on the depth chart. And so I think that if everybody is healthy, I do believe that that is an accurate representation of who's going to be where on that offensive line. Again, the caveat being if everybody's healthy.
So, but if it happens the way that Nick sort of laid out, where Conklin sort of Wally pips Jedrick Wills in that way, and I know I asked you the other day, Daryl, about the idea that if he plays well, maybe...
I'm not giving you my prediction. I gave it
to Nick yesterday.
It was so sweet. I enjoyed that prediction so much. Oh, my God.
But if that happens and Conklin plays well and they decide, you know what, we're going to keep DeJuan at right, we're going to keep him at left, would that potentially necessitate them looking to maybe shop Jedrick Wills before the trade deadline this year? Or do you think they would just run it with all three of those guys and appreciate having the depth at that position?
They need the depth at that position. There's no shopping anybody. I have said this since January when the conversation came up about the Browns having this surplus of tackles, three guys for two spots. No, you need to keep both, because, you know, anything can happen at any given time, and we have especially seen that at that specific position in recent years. Just look at last year, right? I mean, they all dropped like flies at tackle. So, no, I under no circumstances would entertain moving any of those three tackles. I would want to keep all three of them, because I suspect as they go through this 17-game schedule and hopefully even more games tacked on to the back end of that come January, I suspect that all three of those tackles are going to be needed.
Daryl, what would you put more stock into coming off week one here? If the Browns' offense looked really good or if the defense looked really good?
I would probably say offense because I expect the defense to be good. They basically ran it back. I think it's linebacker is the only spot where they made a change. Defensive line is back. The entire secondary's back. Coming off their number one overall ranking, they were top 10 in just about every meaningful category. And really, the only thing that needs to be fixed on that side of the ball, they need to travel. The defense needs to play as well on the road as they did at home. And they do that, good things are going to happen. Offensively, there's just a ton of questions, right? Offensive line, we talked about the tackle situation. Running game, I think, is a major question mark. Jerome Ford's going to be the lead back, but you know Pierre Strong's in there. Dante Foreman going to be in there. Obviously, Deshaun, and where he's at with his shoulder. Is it really fully recovered, as he and the Browns say it is? Can he return to the form that got him fully guaranteed $230 million in change from the Browns and caused Cleveland to give up six draft picks, including three first-rounders? Don't know. He is the biggest unknown quantity. So for me, if the offense comes out and plays well against this Cowboys defense on Sunday, I'm probably going to feel pretty good about where they are on that side of the football because, again, I don't feel like there's many questions on the defensive side of things.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the show, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, I know Kevin Stefanski has two Coach of the Year awards, but I don't know that he's necessarily talked about as like the next, again, this class of the great innovative minds, offensive minds in football like Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan. If he gets this offense and kind of restores Deshaun back to who he was and gets this offense really working, this new look offense that they've built, is that the thing that you think would then put him in that conversation where people are talking about him more in that light?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't think Stefanski gets the credit he deserves offensively. What impresses me most about him is his willingness to evolve and make changes. He's not stuck in his ways. He doesn't sit there and say, this is the system I run. This is how we're going to do it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Remember, when he came in 2020, what was he all about? He was all about tight ends and fullbacks and running backs, right? Well, here we are 4 years down the line, and now there's no fullback on the roster. That'll probably be Nick Harris if they need that particular role for any given package, right? The run game just isn't what it was, at least on paper. You know, tight end, really the focus is David Njoku, but it's not, they're not putting three tight ends on the field like we used to see. So I think that's where he doesn't get the credit, right, is the fact that he's not one of these guys that is just so set in his ways. This is the way I was taught, so this is the way we're going to do it each and every year. He's been willing to tweak and make changes not only schematically, but with use of personnel. So if he's able to get Deshaun Watson back on track, I mean, look, think about this. One of Baker Mayfield's best seasons was with the Browns in 2020. He made Jacoby Brissett look like a starting quarterback in the National Football League, right? Case Keenum went 2-0 as a starter under Stefanski. You know, Joe Flacco, they pulled that guy off the couch, dusted him off, threw him out there last year, and Flacco put together an incredible five-week stretch where he threw for over 1,600 yards and 13 touchdowns, right? So he's the volume of quarterbacks that he has had to work with and how good he's made some of those guys look, or at least proficient that he's made some of these guys look. I think it speaks volumes, and he definitely doesn't get enough credit for that.
Daryl, expectations for Tom Brady's debut this weekend in this Browns-Cowboys broadcast?
I think he's going to be vanilla, which I hope not. Like, I hope he's more like we saw Nick Saban on College Game Day this past weekend. I've been enjoying watching these clips of Bill Belichick doing some of these film breakdowns and that. You're starting to see a little, hey, you know what? Maybe Bill Belichick's going to bring some of that personality to the old IG there. You know what I mean? He's probably going to need it if he wants to be recruiting more 24-year-olds. But I hope that Tom is not not vanilla. That's, I think.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
My concern, but also, too, don't go Tony Romo. Right? You know, like, Tony Romo got annoying in a
Jim.
Hurry. Why are you saying Tony
here
Romo?
Here we go, Jim. Here, it's a big play. Like, don't do any of that kind of cheesy stuff.
Why do you sound like Tony Soprano, Daryl?
Don't sound like Tony Romo. All right? He's eating all the gabagool in the press box. Like, what are we doing here?
Hey, listen, if there's anyone going to be eating all the gabagool in the press box, it's going to be you, big boy.
Daryl, me and Tony Romo, we like the gabagool.
Daryl, great stuff, buddy. Chops busted. We appreciate you.
You bet, guys. Talk to you Friday.
Thanks, Daryl.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Nice little win there last night by the Gardos. Stringing them together here, buddy boy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different feeling from a week ago when they were losing 3 out of 4 to the Royals, and now they're on the brink of sweeping them later today.
Do I get to take that victory lap, or because
I... obviously I was gone last week. What was your take that...
My victory lap is the Guardians are not that far away, and that it was the rotation. As soon as the rotation firmly locks into place, that this thing was going to take care of itself. And we are 4 starts in, and it sure feels from... I mean, 4 good starts in a row, and it feels like this thing is taking care of itself.
I guess you could.
What was that now?
I'm trying to think about if you deserve a victory lap or not for this. Because part of me thinks that the Royals, part of the reason that the Twins and the Royals have sort of caught up to the Guardians in recent months since the All-Star break. To me, it was about the Guardians struggling somewhat, but it was also about the fact that those two teams were playing really well. Mm-hmm. So I also kind of wonder if maybe this was just the Royals coming back down to earth as well. Like, I'm not saying the Guardians aren't getting back to being a good team.
I mean, is it also the Twins coming back down to earth?
Probably true, yeah.
At what point can we just give the Guardians damn credit? They're 5-1 their last 6.
When they win a playoff series?
I don't think that's fair. Were you on Team Panic 3 weeks ago?
I wouldn't say I was on Team Panic 3 weeks ago, but last week I definitely was like, yeah, this is a sinking ship.
So I think that's the problem, is I can look at when the Guardians have played poorly and admit they play poorly and say, well, I'm not panicking, but here's the recipe for when I'm going to start to be very concerned. Had they been swept last week against the Royals, that would have been about as close as I had been to panicking. But I feel like...
The difference for you is that they won one of those games. That was like the thing that kept you above water on not panicking?
I think keeping, reversing negative momentum and staving off a save is huge. I really do. But I think we've locked so much into our lanes with the Guardians, and I'm now accusing you of this, but it's everybody but me.
I mean, you're accusing me, but there's probably some truth to it. Because my biggest thing is this, Nick. Like,
I haven't said which lanes.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
It is, if you think that the whole thing was a fluke to start the season, confirmation bias is every time they lose. Where if you think that who they are is the team for the first 80 games of the season, confirmation bias comes in every time they win.
So
I'm somewhere in between.
I guess I'm in a different lane because I don't believe that what they did at the beginning of the season was like who they were going to be all year. I thought they would come back down to earth a little bit. I also don't think as bad as they've played in recent weeks is like how bad this team really is. I do think there's probably some middle ground on like where they actually are as a team in this in baseball.
I think they're much closer to the team for the first 80 games than they have been probably the last.
But see,
60.
But here's my problem though.
Do you agree or disagree? By the way, just real quick.
I think so. This is where my lane comes into play, because my lane is that I think that they could have, they should have been more of the team that they were at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. had they made the right moves at the deadline. And I just don't know if these are the right moves at the deadline yet. I really don't. And that's why I say win a playoff series, because, yeah, it's great that you rebounded a week later and you're now beating the Royals, who you should be better than anyway. But, like, you still, to me, haven't... Like, what is the confirmation that we've seen from what they've now added and the teams
starting
that they've
rotation.
Beaten? Yeah, I mean, they've been better of late, sure.
No, better? If they had this pitching... The last 4 days, if they have the pitching the last four games for all 140 games, they might be 110 win team already. Like think about how
but
poorly
it's
all,
but
the starting
for me,
pitching
it's also
was.
About like who you've done it against, and like we saw what happened against the Yankees when they had some of these guys. Lane Thomas was still going in his slump that he was in.
Okay, you so got, it's the you Dodgers.
Got, well, yeah, you got a series against the Dodgers this week. Like to me, like I'm glad that they've rebounded. I feel good about the fact that. They've now built their lead back up on the Royals. And I do think this series, especially if they finish it off today with a sweep, close the book on the Royals. Like the Royals aren't winning the division now. They've signed, sealed, delivered it.
I believe this is the 15th time somebody's written off a team in any division, including the Guardians themselves. But go ahead. Continue.
Well, I think that the Twins are still in the mix because you still play them for four games. Like, yeah. That'll be a key series coming up here, and I think it's like a little under 2 weeks now. I think it's like mm-hmm. the 15th, 16th, 17th, whatever it is that they play them. So like they still have this opportunity to kind of move some ground up and down in the standings. But I think this kind of closes the book on the Royals, and it's good. And I think it's a good sign that. But they've been resilient all year, and Stephen Vogt's really hung his hat on that. I think it's good to see that they're continuing to do that this late in the season, this time of year. That stuff is all important. But I still want to see, like, because I still go back to the trade deadline and say, not only, like, yeah, they had a chance to add and stabilize some of these things, but you could have not only stabilized some of these things, you could have made them better. Like, you could have made your rotation better.
Where?
So that if you beat the Dodgers, you can beat the Dodgers, you can beat the Yankees, you can beat these teams.
What was the move that they made? That they missed the what's the move that they didn't make that missed the mark?
I mean, I think there was a couple pitchers that were out there that you really could have gone
but
after.
But like, who specifically?
I think Fetty could have been an option for you. I think what he went for wasn't really all that pricey.
I think Matt Boyd has been better than Fetty. I think you've got him for one
like,
less.
I don't
start.
Have the numbers right in front of me compared to like where they've been.
But also
Boyd technically was an addition pre-trade deadline, and we just didn't get a chance to see him till now. So, you know, they saw something there, and it's so like, far it's paid off.
I think Cobb, I know it's a risk, I think Cobb's a better pitcher than Fetty. But like, I don't think Fetty's a guy you want to start in a playoff game. I think Cobb can be, because I think Cobb still has the stuff that made him an all-star 2 years ago. I think Fetty's just kind of, I don't want to say run of a mill. But so I guess my point is, like, I'm blown away to hear anybody complaining about the deadline today, because... Lemon Law Lane all of a sudden is hitting. Matt Boyd, has given you quality after quality after quality moment for this team. And he's kind of the guy that started stabilizing the rotation alongside Bybee and Williams. That was a big breath, I know. And that's what I get for being a D. That's what I get for being a D and jamming you up about your high pitch thing there. But so Boyd helped stabilize the rotation with the two guys who've been there all year long. And now Cobb looks healthy and had a like. What more could you want out of the players you acquired than what you've gotten from Cobb and Boyd? Certainly, and I'm reticent to do this, but Lemon Law Lane has had a hell of a week here as well.
Yeah, and listen, I am glad to see that these guys have sort of stabilized things, that they are playing at a higher level than what you would have hoped for. I wasn't trying to just go back and be like. Oh, the trade deadline, they really missed it. Like, I wasn't trying to do that today, necessarily.
No, but I do think it's a valid conversation people keep bringing up,
yeah.
Regardless of the fact of how well those three guys might be playing.
My biggest thing has always been, like, I will revisit the trade deadline when we get to the playoffs. Because if they get swept or blown out of the water by a team like the Yankees, who you were trying to sort of chase at the trade deadline and add to sort of contend with them... Then we'll go back. Then I think it's like a good conversation to go back and be like, look, like you could have done more to try to catch that team and you didn't. But like right now, it's kind of like a wait and see thing, because like we have seen Boyd's been pretty steady since he's come in, and I give him credit for that.
But can I ask you?
But we've seen Lane Thomas be absolutely atrocious, and now he's starting to turn the corner a little bit, but will he go back to being atrocious by the time the playoffs roll around?
I want
to
cycle back on this logic. So if those guys have performed poorly, it's fair game to say the Guardians didn't do bleep at the deadline. But yet when all three guys play well, what, I got to wait till October?
I mean, I don't think that's the – but you got those guys for that time of year, did you not?
Well, no, you got them for the last 3 months of the season, which includes the postseason. But they're paying dividends. I mean, Boyd and Cobb, for as much a risk each guy was, and that is fair. And I'm also totally fair to say Boyd coming back down to earth makes a lot of sense. But at the same point, like – because – and it's not – I want to make – it's not about you. It's about this idea of – when they lose, it's, well, you didn't do damn thing at the deadline. Even when they're losing in spite of the things, like the biggest complaint you should have right now is Lane Thomas looks like a Lemon Law candidate. But like the starting rotation, those two guys have stabilized your rotation with the other three starters you can count on.
So I took this approach at the time, and it still kind of applies now. I understand, like, it's always a risk no matter what you do at the deadline. Like, you could have added Fetty. You could have added Jack Flaherty, who obviously went to the Dodgers and has continued to pitch pretty well. And that was another guy who I would have mentioned when we were talking about that a second ago. Like, price tag didn't end up being as much as I thought it would be, and you maybe could have got a guy like that. But regardless, like, you could have added some of these guys, and you still might lose in the playoffs to the Yankees. But my thought was you would have gone a little bit bigger. Like, you would have gone more big fish hunting and tried to like make your, like, rather than just like stabilize it, like we're using the word stabilize right now in terms of what they've done. You could have made it legitimately better with some of these other names that were out there. And that's my point, is like, yeah, that's still a risk. It's still a risk. But if you had gone for it, then if you lose to the Yankees or whatever, I look back and I say, hey, you know what? You couldn't beat the Yankees this year, but I appreciate the fact that you tried. What they did, it felt more like, I called it like the Flex Seal trade deadline. Like it was like, oh, we got this problem. Let's slap this guy on there who hasn't pitched all season and see what we get out of it. And it might work out.
I think,
and I might be eating crow for that. But I'm saying, like, until we get to that point, like, if you fall short now, I'm always going to look back and be like, well, you could have done more. There will always be that doubt in my mind, and that's the point. If you had tried a little harder and done a little bit more, I wouldn't feel that way.
They got three players that are helping them resurrect this team from the abyss, and I like, well, let's be honest about it, you just mean they didn't spend enough money. That's really what this is, and that's fine, but that's just a bugaboo that fans have. Well, I didn't spend enough money. Well, the three moves they made are working out. The Lane Thomas one, TBD.
It's working out because we've had 2 weeks of knowing that they're working out. I mean, Alex Cobb just got back from another injury.
Well, the two starts that he's made have actually been the best starts of the season, and Matt Boyd's been in the rotation and quality since he came up 1 week after the deadline.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.